But Charisse is here. She could, you know, anything could happen. Okay. Okay, guys. This is our annual meeting. We're not going to get into any business. We are online. We welcome our online audience. But the Acts of the Apostles, that series, this actually fits with that. But this is also a challenge to our body. It's a challenge to the body of Christ. And I want to tell you, as we look at the picture, and I actually read a document this week that we had a visitor come a few weeks ago now, and someone that I pastored years ago, and had something on his heart, and he emailed me a document, and in that document, it literally, he is reflecting what I've been preaching for many, many years, and that is until we get our situation as the body of Christ. I'm not talking about this church because we're perfect, you know. I'm talking about everybody else. But until we get our divisions, and I don't mean we have to agree on every doctrinal anything. What I'm talking about is until we love one another, until we're all on the same side, pointing toward Christ, it's very hard for a broken world to understand. Does that make sense?
Yes.
If I love you because you vote right, if I love you because you got perfect theology, just like mine, you know, because mine's perfect. If I love you, no, I love you because God loves you. And as we choose to do that, and it actually challenged me again, but this church has been here 124 years. This is our 124th year in existence. And in this geographical location, we've been proclaiming Christ. And I want to this morning, I want us to imagine, I was really bad at basketball, really bad. And I quit after a while. I've kind of played it more like football, and it didn't work. But I was pretty good at football. Not necessarily carrying the ball, but just, it was like a fight on the line every down, and I enjoyed that. But anyway, but the point being is this, guys. Can you imagine? So here's the team. Go team. Say that with me. Go team. All right. So there's the team. And we're going to practice. And we know. And we got a quarterback. And we know really which goalpost to run toward. And we know most of the rules. And we got this down. And we're ready to go. And we get ready to play this game. And we're playing this game. And if we win this game, people don't have to die and go to hell. And you're like, what? That's a heck of a game. Yes, it is. There are lives. There are lives in the balance. And we're lined up. And Corey, I'm gonna make you the quarterback. You're right here. And it's like, you go, hut. And all of us look at each other and say, we can't play. Those cheerleaders aren't wearing the right outfit. I just can't believe that I told them that our colors were blue and they made the colors purple. And can you imagine while people are dropping off into hell and we're not even playing the game? We're too worried about the color of the cheerleader's outfit. Well, you know, they should be wearing hats. They should be. I want you to think about that. And you say, Bruce, that's absurd. Well, when the world looks at the body of Christ, it's absurd.
Well,
is that what's happening? Okay. We've forgotten the game. And here's the game. Jesus showed up at home, and he's in Galilee, and then he came up to Nazareth where he'd been brought up. And so we are, if you're following along, we're in Luke chapter 4, 16. And he went to the synagogue, because that's what he did on Sunday, or Saturday, which was Sunday, you know, whatever. Okay. So, and when he had opened the book, he found the place. They said, he stood up to read. And they handed him the book. Of course, they had all of the scrolls were a different deal, so they wasn't set up like ours. And they handed him this book. And, you know, You think God knew what he was doing when he got that book? Just so happened they gave him the right book. No. Just so happened you happened to hear this sermon. No. Just so happened that you were born during this such a time as this. No. So he found the place where it was written. Now he had to know where this was, so he had to find it. So that means he'd studied beforehand. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because, for the purpose of, to preach the gospel to the poor. What's the word gospel? Okay. It ain't good news that if you're quite twice as good as I am and do this, blah, blah, blah. No, that's news. But I'm going to tell you what good news is that we celebrated it 3 minutes ago, that I held that in my hand and I celebrated the fact that he died on the cross for me and I live with him for eternity as I walk. And that's good news, especially if you're like me and you take two steps and fall, you take two steps and fall, you take two steps and fall. And you say, Bruce, boy, you got a weird life. No, I'm a perfectionist. I know what I'm not perfect. Are you perfect? Are you sure? Some of y'all act like it. Okay, anyway. I'm pretty good while y'all are watching. How's that? So, because that's why the anointing is on me. He's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Is this world been kicked and kicked and kicked, and does it need healing? We need healing. We needed healing since the garden. And you know, I promise you, I will not do that today. I will not start at the garden and go all the way through the Bible again as a sub point, because that takes a while. But the point being is this, guys, we've been hurt since the garden. We've got sickness. We just prayed for people here with sickness and people that are sending messages. Pray for me. Please pray for me. And listen, he sent me to heal, and this world is brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive. Are there people in this country, are there people in this world that are captive to the God of this world, the little g? And you say, well, yeah, you're talking about that. No, no, listen, what I'm telling you is the further you get from God's plan for you, you become captive. And you become more and more miserable. If you can imagine being in a prison of your own making. And guys, God has called us to lead people in deliverance. And a lot of times we say, well, no, I'm not perfect. I can't tell anybody anything. No, you can. I'm going to tell you something. If I'm walking down the road and my bike's broke down or my truck's broke down or whatever, and you pull up in a Yugo or a Cadillac, I don't care, as long as you're going my direction. Does anybody remember a Yugo? Was that a real car? Okay, just making sure. A Chevette, maybe that's a better. Or Pinto, yeah, the exploding car. Anyway, I don't care if you pick me. I don't care what you say. Well, you know what? I'm a Chiefs fan. Or I'm a Dallas Cowboy fan, if we can keep him out of prison long enough to play. But anyway, but the point being, no, seriously, guys, seriously, I don't care. You're going my direction. Help me. So we can help. We can help deliver. We can help people to recover the sight to the blind. And the world is blind, isn't it? Yes. Is the world blind?
Yes.
It's like people say things and you sit there and go, really? really? Okay. The world is blind. But listen, he is our light. He is our life. And listen, I love this illustration. The sun, S-U-N, is the sun for this. It's the light of this world. And the S-O-N is the sun for the spiritual world. And as we focus, as we allow him, as we uncover him, as we magnify the sun, there comes power, there comes light. And I'm talking about S-O-N. Okay. Or unless you're burning stuff with a magnifying glass, you can use S-U-N. Okay. So don't try that at home. My insurance company has told me, said, make sure you say that this is, closed course only. Okay, whatever. To preach recovery of the sight to the blind and set at liberty those who are oppressed. And we always think that's about people that are on drugs. We always think about this, but I want to tell you something. There is a life, there is a world full of people who are bound by religious tradition. There is a world of people who are bound by this, bound by wrong ideas, by voices in their head that are, have been telling them that you're no good, you're no, all of that. We need to be set free from all that, okay? And don't get me wrong, we all show up at church, same place, same time mostly, you know, and we need some organization, but not legalism, okay? And to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And when I, every time I read that, I always think the same thing. This isn't for the future. This is for now, right now. What we need to do is to quit worrying about the cheerleaders' outfits. We need to quit worrying about, you know, we don't like where the clock is on the field. We don't like the way, you know, the coach does his hair. We don't, you know, instead of that, we need to start thinking about the game that God has put us here. Does anybody understand what I'm saying? And that's the purpose of this church, is to bring it back to the basic elements. And that's what the New Testament church was. We hadn't got around to where we needed steeples. We hadn't got around to where we needed all this stuff that we think we need so much of now. So I want to tell you, I love, as it said, liberty there a minute ago. There's another scripture, and again, I'm not going to spend a lot of time looking up different things because we've got this meeting afterwards. But watch this. Where the Spirit is, we're talking about the Holy Spirit, there is liberty. There is liberty. It doesn't have to look like the Pentecost. It doesn't have to look like the Methodist. It doesn't have to look like the Baptist. Listen, the Spirit of God is in you. How is that going to look in your life? You know, whether it's gas station ministry or whether you've done crusades all over the world, you know, God, it's the same Spirit. It's the same power. And you have that liberty to be the man, the woman that God has called you to. And this next scripture I'm going to hit very quickly. Matthew chapter 5, Jesus really got their attention with this scripture. And this should be our attitudes. It's called the Beatitudes, but I don't think that word has anything to do with the way I mess it up. But this should be our attitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit. We are attracted to people when they're but I want to tell you something, guys. If you're suffering this morning, you are in a perfect place to receive. And I want to tell you something. If you, people say, oh, Bruce, I just don't have time to pray. Bruce, I just don't have time to go to counseling. I just don't have time. Well, I'm going to tell you something. It's not bad enough. I can tell you, if I get a hangnail, not one time have I showed up down to my doctor for a hangnail. Not one time. Okay, take a pocket knife and carve on it myself. On the other hand, all joking aside, when things get bad, if it's something was hurting me bad, I'd be down there knocking on the door, even if it's at closing time. You see what I mean? You will be able to pray sometimes I think God allows us to go to places that we will pray. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. After failure, after failure, after failure, after failure of trying to live the perfect, because I was raised in perfectionism, I was raised in legalism, and you know, if it stunk, you had to cover it up. After doing that over and over, it failed, and finally I came to a place and said, God, I can't do it. He said, you're right. You can't, but what you can do is be the man I've called you to be and walk the path and do the things and mature and grow. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. God's called us to this world. This world is in mourning. There's people, there's hurt people that are, and that's why I call it Instagram and Facebook. You know, they're on there going, my life is perfect. their husband's in the back with a chainsaw trying to cut the back of the house off to, you know, get his tools out before he gets, you know. And the 911's on their way there, you know. And I'm gonna do that. Somebody calls and says, oh, praise God, God bless you. Okay, have a great day. Okay, but here's the deal. We have a world full of people who are mourning, but God has come that we can be their comforter. Their comforter is the Holy Spirit, but we need a vessel to take him to. Will you be that vessel? Will you be that vessel? Okay? God's faithful. He'll put the people in your life you need to do that with. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Well, we think we gotta be more assertive. We gotta be this, we gotta be that. I'm gonna tell you something. It doesn't hurt to, you know, God has different roles for different people. But I can tell you this, guys. I want to tell you, you can go a long ways. You go a lot further with sugar than you can salt a lot of times. And God's called us to be meek. And blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. And guys, I want to tell you, righteousness has a name. His name is Jesus. And as you walk, I'm gonna tell you, I saw this years ago. I was actually a teacher that I was I was actually watching him. I was there when he was teaching this. And he talked about, he was kind of a big deal. And one of the pro teams wanted him to speak to them before they always have a pastor come in before they play ball. And so, you know, when he bought a ticket to go, it cost a bunch of money. I don't remember what he said, it's years ago. And then he parked at some place and got on a tram and rode for all this, you know, rode, and finally got there and then got that and, you know, paid $15 for a Coke and $10 for a hot dog and, you know, set up in there. And he said, but when they invited me to come speak, they said, just show up about 45 minutes early and just pull right into the back and there'll be somebody waiting on you. And they open the door and they bring him in. And there's his cheese tray or his whatever tray and his bottled water. And he goes in there and he goes right in, doesn't cost him anything. And then they take him up to the box seat to watch the game. He said, you know, the difference was I'm the same person. But guess what? I was there on a mission and had been invited there, and it was who I was with. The guy, the manager of the team, met him at the back door. Guess what? Essentially, it's his building. This is God's building. This is God's home. This is God. This is, listen, the earth is his and the fullness thereof. And he says, listen, we have the answer to bring people to him, and with them they will be filled. And then here's, I love this. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. You know why I'm so sweet to people? This is not a joke. I want everybody to be sweet to me. I'm planting them seeds. You know why I put gas in my car before I go somewhere? Because I want to make it all the way there. And I want to tell you something. We need to invest in mercy for one another. It's not all about, well, I'm right and you're wrong and you're right and I'm wrong and that person, you know, it might get you more people to view you if you talk about how bad somebody else is, because, you know, but I'm going to tell you something, if you're using that, what's going to happen is if you start biting people, you will get bit in the other end, and that's the nicest way I can say that, okay? If you want mercy, give mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. That doesn't mean that we're perfect. That means that our motives, it's about our motivation. Blessed are the peacemakers. Do you think that we need to be the church of Jesus Christ? Do you think we stayed here 124 years and nobody's burnt the church down because we always cause confusion? No, we want to be peacemakers. We love the Baptist church up the road. We love the Methodist church. We love the Presbyterians. We love every church. We work together with anybody who needs anything. and what whoever I left out, okay, Method, okay, whatever. And we love them. And as the pastors get together and we share information and we share our resources and we have joint services. And, but here's the deal. Are you a peacemaker? Are you a troublemaker? That again, you're going to get fruit from which you are. They shall be called sons of God if you're a peacemaker. Because that's what, remember what God did? He gets in the boat. I want to be in the boat with God. How many of you want to be in the boat with God? When the storm comes, when the wind's not blowing, you kind of be by yourself. It's okay. Especially the fish are biting. But then what happens? The storm comes. I need the Lord in my boat. Okay, even when it's peaceful, I like him there. But the point being is this. What did he do? Did he say, I don't know what we're going to do. Let's put on some more life jackets. No. Did he do that? No. No, he stood up and he spoke to the wind. And he said, peace, be still. And that's the same God that we serve now. And let me tell you something. Sometimes he'll look at your heart in the middle of all that and say, peace, be still to your heart. And the waves are still the same size. But you can still have peace that passes all understanding. That's exactly right. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs the kingdom of God. And guys, I want to tell you, the level of persecution that I've suffered is so light compared to history and the world. But you know, I've had people talk about me. I've had people talk about this. Talk about that. I don't like the way you do that. I don't like the way you do that. They hurt my feelers, you know. But they didn't. I've never been truly persecuted. But there are people in this world right now that are actually being persecuted. Okay. For righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Guys, here's the deal. Blessed will they revile and persecute you and say kinds of evil things against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. So they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Guys, there's always been an enemy. Even in the garden, there was an enemy. And there's still an enemy today, and what he wants to do is to keep us from winning the world for Jesus. And however he has to do, however how sneakily he can do that, he will. The last thing that I want to say today, or the last scripture very quickly, it's 28 and 18. We talked about it a little bit last week, generally. We didn't look it up exactly. But I want to tell you, Jesus is just about to go back to heaven. And he says these words, 28 and 18. All authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth. Is God in charge? Yes. Okay. And I want to tell you, and I understand this thought process. You look at the circumstances and you say, But I totally get it. I get it. I feel it. I hear it. I think it. But I don't care. But I know what the Word of God says. I do care. Okay, but I don't allow it to change what I'm going to think. Either God's in charge or the devil's in charge. Which one's in charge? Okay. And here's the deal. I know there's circumstances. I know there's all those things. But watch this. All authority has been given me in heaven and on earth. That means spiritual authority. That means earthly authority. And when those guys were in the boat and it was already said, well, God, if you're in charge, why is this storm coming? I'm going to tell you why it came. Because they were going to the other side and he was going to cast a demon out of somebody, or demons, legion. Okay, and the powers and principalities in high places says, we got to stop this. This has been a stronghold for years, and a heck of a storm came, but God allowed that to do it. He could have just said, nope. But what he did instead is he let them see him in authority. So are we going to let him be in authority or not? Because he can bring peace to your heart. If you hear this morning, your heart says blah, 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 blah. No, he can bring peace to that this morning. And he says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. What he didn't say was go back to the old covenant and figure out why you're not supposed to eat deviled ham. Okay, what he didn't say is let's not go through everything and figure out how I'm a little better than you do because I wear a hat. You see what I'm saying? He didn't say that. He said, what I have taught you. And listen, it's don't eat too much ham. It's, you know, I mean, I'm just telling you, okay? Crawdads are good for you. I've heard. There's a study going on right now among some Cajun friends of mine. Anyway, just kidding. But here's the deal. Let us go back to the field and start playing the game that God has called us to play and start and get and focus on that versus focusing on all this peripheral, who's doing what and what's going on. And listen, I'm not telling you not to be informed. I'm not telling you not to do those things. What I'm telling you is this, is nobody gets out of here alive unless there's a rapture. And hey, if he wants to come back today, I'm willing. You know, and I'm ready. Ready, willing, and able to go. Because God is God. Because he paid the price for me, and he paid the price for you. Father, thank you so much for these folks, God. And thank you so much for keeping this place that, Lord, we have a place to meet and send the gospel, Lord, to both online and here, and then these people become empowered to go and preach the gospel, to play the game where they're at, Lord, and the people online. And Lord, we're encouraged by you and empowered by your Spirit. And Lord, thank you so much. If you're watching today or you're here, let the Holy Spirit speak to you about how he wants you to get back in the game. Instead of let your focus be back on the game. You're probably in the game, but you may not be watching where the ball's going. You may not be running toward the right goalpost. You may not have the right priorities as far as the game goes. Let him speak to you by his grace, by his voice, the way he speaks to you. And I love as a pastor when people come to me and say, Bruce, I feel like the Lord's wanting me to do this, but I don't know how. I said, we'll get started, you'll make a mess of it, and we'll clean the mess up, and then we'll go from there. Because here's the deal. Fear is not an emotion. It is an inaction. And as we take those actions, it may be time to start getting up 20 minutes early, 30 minutes early, and reading the Word of God and praying and say, lead me today to speak to who I need to speak to. Lead me, put me in the path, and be available, be what open to what the God of gods, the King of kings, has for you. So Lord, let us do that individually. Let us do that corporately here. And Lord, let that blessing go forward to those who are watching and paying attention this morning, God. Speak to us by your Spirit. Thank you so much, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Be blessed. May God bless you, keep you, let his light shine on you, and give you peace.